Since we have a little extra time here, I thought we might go ahead and look at the gospel that's the one appointed for Proper 11. So if you are not observing Mary Magdalene on July 22nd, you probably would be using the gospel Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. Which ironically is about another Mary. So Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42. Now this is an extremely familiar story, and that usually means it presents more challenges than usual for the preacher, because he's dealing with not only himself, but also a whole congregation of people who already think they know what the story is about. So you have to work extra hard to put this back in its context in Luke and see how it connects, if it connects at all, with the stories that have come before and will come after. Just by way of a brief introduction, and once again, the books by Tannehill on Luke and Acts are very valuable in setting a passage back into the context of the themes of Luke's writings. He introduces this passage by saying that the story of Mary and Martha contrasts Martha, who represents the expected role of a woman in serving a dinner, with Mary, who neglects this responsibility in order to listen to Jesus' word. Martha's complaint raises the issue of whether Mary is right in neglecting her woman's duty and leaving her sister to work alone. The significance of the scene is enhanced when we recognize that it fits into a repeated discipleship theme of hearing and doing the word, relating that theme to women. So we see here Mary beginning to respond to Jesus' call to hear his words, and in this sense she is beginning to become part of that family of Jesus who hear the word of God and do it. So it becomes a question then of family duty and what is most important. Verse 38 begins with en de to paruestai. We have en with the article and infinitive. And remember this construction here with N usually means during the particular time. While the action of the participle is going, or excuse me, of the infinitive is happening, then something else will happen too. And you have the subject of the infinitive then put in the accusative case, autus. So, if you remember from Dr. Veltz's book, the formula he used, in the traveling with they doing the action. So, while they were traveling, autos eis eilthen. Now, the autos focuses specifically on Jesus, and the other disciples will be left to the sidelines. Hopefully they're not left standing out on the street, but they are not important for the story, so they disappear from the narrative. So, autos eis eilthen, again from eis erchomai, Jesus went in, entered eis komein tina, went into a certain village. Okay, and gene de, introducing a new character with de here. Gene tis, so in a certain village, a certain woman. Now, because the woman will be important, she's introduced by name. Onamati, by name. Remember the common way of indicating that with a dative noun. Martha, hippadexa ta auton. So, and a certain woman by name of Martha, from hippodechomai, to receive, welcome, entertain someone as a guest, she welcomed him in to her home. Kai Teide. This is Teide is a demonstrative pronoun. Points back then to Mary. There was the sister to this one. You notice Teide there is in the dative. So with ain and dative, you really have a dative of possession here. And there was a sister to her, Kalumene Mariam, who was called there, the passive participle, Mary. Kai parakathes theza pros tus pados tu kiriu. Para, from parakathesomai, sort of take your place along by someone. Sort of sit down, and here it's specified where that place was, pros tus pados, at the feet. Remember, pus pados is a third declension noun there. At the feet of the Lord. And where Luke tends to refer in his narrative to Jesus as the Lord much earlier in the Gospel than the other evangelists do. So, aorist participle, having taken her place at the feet of the Lord, akouen, imperfect of akouo, she was listening to his word, or hear his preaching, what he was saying. Heda Martha, peri aspato, peri Pauline diaconia. But Martha, peri aspato, from peri spao, to have your attention directed away to something else, to be distracted, to be almost overburdened with concerns about other things. She was distracted, worried, concerning Pauline diaconion, much service or many preparations. Epistasa de apin. Here, epistemi, to stand at a certain location, sometimes with the idea of stopping what you're doing, which is the case here. It doesn't say, and putting her hands on her hips, but I think we can all picture that. She said, Kyrie, umele soi. Hoti he adolfe mu manen me kat elepin diakonein. Again, it's always... Well, instead of saying it's difficult to determine the force of Kyrie, we should almost say there's almost a little bit of play on words whenever it's used. Here she is not acknowledging him as Lord, at least if she is, it's a very strange question to ask her Lord. It is a title of respect, so Sir, Master, Umele Soi, is it not a care to you? Is it of no concern to you? Haughty, that, and then here's the question. Do you or don't you care about this? That Adolfemu, my sister, Kat Elepin, has left me alone, Manein me, and then with the infinitive to complete it, left me alone to serve. Doesn't that bother you at all? And I think the implication is that it clearly bothers Martha. Epe un aute, hina moi sin anti labetai. Therefore, that is assuming, of course, that Jesus would see that this was wrong and unfair, tell her, and here hina with the object of the command, tell her to sin anta labetai, from sin anti lambanomai, to simply to help, to sort of take up along with someone the burden, so to help me. Apokritheisde apen aute ha kyrios. In response then, Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha, merim nas kai thorubadze peri pala. Merim na'o means to be anxious or to worry. Thorubadzo is to be troubled or distracted. You're worried and troubled concerning pala, many things. Henosta estin krea. There is one thing that is needful, or there is need of one thing. Henos, you see, is in the genitive. With krea, the need of something, just like the English. Mariam gar tain agathain merida exeloxeta hetis uk af I. Rethesetai, off I rethesetai autes. So for Mary, ex elexata from ek legomai, remember that lego often has, there's a root stem that has that idea of choosing something. That's where we get the election words. She has chosen tain agathain merida. The good portion, the better portion. And many see here a kind of play on words where this can also refer to a dish in a meal. So if Martha is worried about how many courses she's serving, Mary has chosen the good course. Hetis, the correlative pronoun there, which uk will not be taken. Here we have a future passive from off ireo. Will not be taken away from her, depriving her of it. Okay. I really think that it's important to see this as following after the parable of the Good Samaritan. And if you have preached that the Sunday before, then hopefully you can draw in connections here. But the question seems to continue to be concerning how is love for one's neighbor shown. Jesus does not tell Martha her service is bad or of no value. But, as Fitzmyer says, its elaborate thrust may be misplaced. That is, if Jesus would be satisfied with a simple meal, then Martha, too, would be free to come and listen to him. A service that is not focused on his word will never have lasting character and is not the proper Christian service, which is really hearing then and doing Jesus' words. Still, I wonder if part of the reason this text has often been misunderstood or misapplied is that we make Mary and Martha the main characters when, once again, I think it should be Jesus himself who is the main character. If the parable of the Good Samaritan was to teach the man that instead of worrying about which people he had to show care and concern for, he should first ask the question, who proved to be neighbor to me, that is, who rescued me when I was left for dead, then I think this following episode in the home of Martha and Mary also illustrates that what's the first and primary question is not what is it that I need to do for Jesus, but what has he come to do for me? What is he offering that perhaps I'm missing by focusing on my own agenda and concerns and not giving his word serious consideration, not forgetting about all those other things for the moment, sitting at his feet and listening to him. This picture of Jesus and Mary would have been so intimate as perhaps even to suggest a little bit of scandal. For a young unmarried woman to come and sit at the feet of an unmarried male guest would have been considered inappropriate. And yet this scene is being transformed from that of welcoming a stranger into the house of a family gathering around the head of the household. And Mary has apparently understood that, whether consciously or not, her actions suggest that. And she is willing to be the sister, the brother, the son, the daughter of this Jesus and sit at his feet and listen to it. Well, I think I won't go ahead and preach the whole sermon for you. I'll leave some of the blanks for you to fill in, but just a few thoughts to hopefully suggest some new ways of looking at this text. And I think we'll go ahead and close here for today, and thank you again for joining us.